You're listening to Siren Radio. It is the first Wednesday of the month. I have to say, for legal reasons, we're recording this at 3 minutes past 11 on Wednesday, the 2nd of June, which means it's high time. I fling open the windows and let the sunshine in. The sunshine, otherwise known as John Ketley with his weather programme. Hi, John.
Hello, Andrew, and my word, the sun is shining this time around. It hasn't been like that for many programmes recently, has it? But it's shining this time. That's great.
And you and I have taken a layer off. Neither you nor I are wearing thick winter clothes.
No, we don't want too much information here. I'm actually reduced to shorts today, which is a frightening prospect, and it wouldn't be fair to show anybody or to let anybody really know that I'm wearing shorts. But here we are, I am, and it's a sign of things to come.
I'm all of a quiver now. Anyway, that's enough of that. We are going through, and of course we are now into June, so we're not supposed to talk about it, but we have had a reasonably good run of weather. So I throw the ball in your court. Well done.
Well, thank you. And I do remember our payoff on the last programme was something to do with, I'm sure that we're going to get 25 degrees before the end of May, because we always do.
Yeah, go on.
And we did. I mean, it was a long time in coming, and it was actually Bank Holiday Monday on the 31st of May, wasn't it?
So right on the edge.
Yeah, it was a bit of a gamble, but we got there in the end. It wasn't 25 degrees in Lincolnshire, but it was 21 point something, I think. But there was 25 degrees reported in West London, Northolt, and also up in the north of Scotland. And people tend to forget that at this time of the year, very commonly in May and early June, we do tend to get some of the highest temperatures of the whole year. Up in the north of Scotland, it's partly to do with this fern effect, where the air dries out over the north side of the mountains, because we often get the high pressure situated across in the North Sea, and we draw the winds in from the east or southeast or even the south. And so temperatures do actually escalate up in the north of Scotland, where you wouldn't expect them to do so. But high pressure tends to dominate at this time of the year, and they've done very well recently.
However, it must be said, and no doubt you'll reflect on this next month, or at least later on this month, we'll explain that in detail in a minute, about the fact that we've got this sea fret. And I noticed that Shetland and Lerwick, their temperatures recently have been down almost into single figures because this blessed North Sea fret keeps drifting in.
Well, it is so typical again of this time of the year, and it's been made rather worse this year because we've had such a cold spring. That the sea temperatures haven't risen, well, they don't rise very quickly anyway at this time of the year, but they haven't risen as quickly as they might do. So the North Sea is still very cold, really. And of course, if you go further north up towards the Northern Isles, Orkney and Shetland, it's even colder still. So that's been the problem. And as soon as you get these moist conditions coming in from the southeast, it does take an awful lot to shift this fret. To be fair, sometimes you only need to go around the headlands. Of the northeastern coast and up around the Northern Isles. If you go around the headland to the other side, actually, you could be in glorious sunshine. So whereas temperatures have been reflected at 10 to 12 degrees as a maximum in recent days, that's where the observations have been. Then, as I say, the other side of the headland or somewhere in the islands, you've probably got 15, maybe 16 degrees for some lucky people or sheep. And It's been a different kettle of fish altogether. So it's a strange beast, really, at this time of the year, with the sea temperatures being so deadly low, that you do tend to find that this fret is really a bit of a nuisance. And it's been affecting the northeast coast of England and even the Lincolnshire coast quite a lot in the first two or three days. Well, the first 2 days of this month. But things are better now, actually. It was really the end of May into the first day of June where it was a real problem on the Lincolnshire coast. But I think things now are a little bit better.
Meanwhile, let's go back and have a look back at May then.
Let's go back in time. Well, I think one thing you can say about May's weather was that it was wet.
Yes.
Cool, wet. I can say three things. Cool, wet and dull really just about sums it up for the entire UK. And we can go into more detail in that in a little while. But cool, wet and dull. And across in Wales, it was the wettest May on record, and that goes back to about 1862, something of that order. So it was a very, very wet May in Wales. Across the UK as a whole, I think it was suggested it's probably been the fourth wettest on record. It doesn't go back to 1862 for that, but early 1900s, I think. So it has been extremely wet. We've had the rain. Obviously, we've had some rain, and we needed the rain because if you go back further, it was, I'm going to give some details about spring as well, but, we had all that lovely sunshine. Sunshine seemed to be with us all the time during April, but it was very cold as well. We had all those frosts, didn't we? Never seen so many frosts in April, but we had lots of sunshine by day. I mean, it's all part and parcel of the same thing, the clear skies. There was a lack of rainfall, lots of sunshine, and now it's gone into reverse during May. So we've had the rain come back. Temperatures have still struggled. And some places have seen temperatures overall in May about -1 to -2.5 degrees below where they should be, which is, I know we talk about a balancing act across the seasons, across the weeks, across the months and the years. But quite frankly, this year has started pretty chilly.
and 2.5 degrees down, yeah. The average, and that's an awful lot.
It is.
And we certainly can feel about it as well.
Yeah, when you talk about 31 days of a month, and some places are, well, I think the lowest one I've got up in Fair Isle. I mean, I know Fair Isle is not a place where not many people are hanging around too long. I think the temperature was there -3.3 degrees, incredibly. That's a bit of an exception, but, -1.5 to -2 degrees is a fairly average temperature drop from the average. It was pretty lowly, really. Now, looking at Lincolnshire's figures, I think we need to get onto those. Look at the rainfall. Well, we had 84 millimetres of rain in Coningsby, so that's well over 3 inches, 84 millimetres there. 90 millimetres at Waddington, 79 millimetres at Scampton, and 90 millimetres at Holbeach. Yeah, 90 millimetres at Holbeach. So that's getting on towards 4 inches of rain. We don't normally get that. I mean, we do tend to get, in any year, in May, we get the power of the sun, but we still get the instability of the atmosphere. So we do tend to get thunderstorms in May, which can really skew the overall rainfall figures for the entire month. You know, you could finish up with 3 dry weeks and then 1 wet week when the storms come in and everything looks back to normal again. Well, it's been a bit different to that. It's been rainfall across the month, really, and not much in the way of sunshine because of all the cloud cover. Now, that rainfall figure represents something like 180% of average, so well on towards twice the average rainfall just for Lincolnshire alone. Very unusual. The temperature overall was -1.1 degree at Waddington, just -1.1, so some places had fared rather worse than that, -1.4 degrees at Holbeach. And the sunshine, which was very disappointing, we don't get many figures for sunshine for Lincolnshire these days. We had 157 hours at Waddington, and Wittering came up with just 141 hours of sunshine. 72% of average, 72% of the average sunshine, where we've all been crying out for sunshine because we need to be out in the garden.
We
haven't been able to do all the normal things. We didn't want, and it is such a contrast to 12 months ago, isn't it? You know, Andrew, we did have that horrible first lockdown, which turned out to be fantastic weather. It was warm and it was sunny. So if you were lucky enough to be in the garden or doing your hours exercise or what the details were in those days, then lots of people did get a suntan.
Yep.
The nanny state now says, oh, don't go out in the sun between 11 and 3. The UV index is very high at this time of the year, which it is, 7s and 8s. So it doesn't matter which way we turn these days. Somebody's going to be looking over us. keep out the sun. Keep out the rain. If you go out, make sure you've got an umbrella. Oh, but don't put the umbrella up because there could be a thunderstorm. That's very dangerous. So we've got to be really careful nowadays.
We did actually, talking of thunderstorms, just briefly interrupting, we had quite a few days when we had afternoon thunderstorms in Lincolnshire at the back end of May as well, didn't we?
Yeah, we've had a few. They all tend to go around me. They tend to run up the Trent Valley. They often run up the Trent. I don't mind that because I love thunderstorms.
Me too.
And, I really love the whole science of thunderstorms. It's a pity nobody really understands them all. But the science of thunderstorms is so complex. But they are very violent features, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you're going to get a pretty violent thunderstorm somewhere at some time. They are dangerous, there's no doubt about that. Lots of people do die, sadly, every year in different parts of the world. And there's no stopping them. They're always going to be there, that's for sure. But locally, they do tend to run up the Trent. So places on the western side of Lincolnshire will get rather more than you would in the east. And having said that, you also get thunderstorms developing up the ridge. So they might come up. Yep. I've noticed over the years, they tend to form. Some tend to form around Rutland Water.
Yep.
So if you imagine that area around Oakham and Empingham Reservoir, they tend to form there. That extra bit of moisture on a hot day is just going to kick things up a bit. And then they'll tend to drift rather more north-northeastwards and pick up on the ridge, come up through west of Grantham, and then pick up on the ridge. So you get a bit of a lack of thunderstorms in the gap between the Trent and the ridge. And then you get more to the east, where you've got some sort of convergence effect, because at the coast it'll often be that bit cooler. But you get a convergence effect of the wind coming in from the southeast and coming in from the south-southwest. And so you get more up across maybe Coningsby or up towards Louth and up the ridge there, up over the Lincolnshire Wolds. So different areas of Lincolnshire do get serious thunderstorms, whereas others just hear the thunder in the distance. The sky goes very black and threatening. And you get these lovely Mamartus pictures. You see them on up north from time to time.
Gorgeous.
Poor old Peter Levy gets very excited with Mamartus cloud. But they are very dramatic, but they are typical of a thunder situation, I have to say. I'm going to look around other parts of the country during May, because the sunshine, obviously it was low everywhere. I'm just trying to find a few good ones. Ronald's Way on the Isle of Man did finish up smack on average sunshine. They had 231 hours. And Tyree up in the Western Isles of Scotland, they finished it with 220 hours of sunshine. And I'm just trying to reflect, the sunniest May we've had in our history was around about 1989, was a very, very sunny May when everybody caught clear blue skies and high pressure for most of the month. And I think then we were looking at just over 300 hours of sunshine countrywide. So this time, you know, the best we could manage was 230 hours at Ronald's Way on the Isle of Man. Most places significantly lower than that, as I've said, 141 hours at Wittering. Now, Shoebury-Ness, only fair that we mention Shoebury-Ness, because they do rather well. They did get 192 hours of sunshine, so that was pretty good. I don't know how that compares with the average, but it's obviously down. You know, it's been down everywhere. So 192 hours of sunshine was quite impressive. Their temperature was down 0.7 degrees. And they only had 51 millimetres of rain at Shoebury-Ness. So that is your rain shadow area. That is Essex. Mm-hmm. 51 millimetres of rain. They did pretty well there. So you've got to say that best of a bad job is probably a good way of putting that. Other places in Scotland where you do get some dry weather at this time of the year, as I've mentioned, just 37 millimetres of rain up in Fair Isle, way out in the islands there. So they had a pretty good month, although it was cold. But other places, what, 50, 60, 70 millimetres of rain? You wouldn't get too worked up about that. 76 millimetres of rain at Kinloss. So that was quite good for them, really. It was 60% more than average, as opposed to twice the average. Shall we have a look at Wales, where I've mentioned the fact that Wales...
Please do, yes.
Wettest May ever. But looking at the figure, I don't have a Capel Keurig. I'm so sorry. I don't have a Capel Keurig in. Because we've got the programme going out on the 2nd of May, not everything's in yet.
Of course.
But they did have 232 millimetres at Bala, Lake Bala.
Lake Bala, yep.
Yeah, 220 millimetres at Sennybridge, and somewhat lower at... Milford Haven, right on the coast there, 112 millimetres right on the coast, 144 millimetres at Aberpour. So, some of the coastal areas did fairly well because they weren't getting necessarily this flow of southwesterly winds, moist southwesterly winds, and crashing thunderstorms onto the coast itself. Thunderstorms would tend to develop more as you go further inland with the uplift off the hills and the mountains. So there were a few glimmers of hope across those parts of the world. Over in Wales, despite the fact that it was very, very... wet overall. Jersey Airport, which often does very well for sunshine, they finished it with 222 hours of sunshine, which was 95% of what they would like to get, I think.
Going back to Wales, we have spent a week on the Clyn Peninsula this time week. And I can vouch that the rain was very rainy to start with. In the first day and a half, it was very, as the Scots would say, dreek. We're looking across the peninsula back to the mainland, mostly couldn't see the mainland. And then it blew through, and for the rest of the week, absolutely stunning.
Oh, good.
when it gets nice, and it did get nice towards the end of last week, it was fine. But there was plenty of evidence that they had a huge amount of rain because everything was almost tropical green. It was verdant to an extraordinary, and beautiful when the sun came out. But by golly, when it rained, it set in and it was it got everywhere. End of my non-empirical weather forecast.
Well, we do tend to forget just how wet it can be in other parts of the country when Lincolnshire doesn't see the extremes that others do, you know. So that is quite interesting, actually. That's fascinating. I think we've covered the rest of the country during May. We've got to go back to spring, and we've got to go in more detail just for Lincolnshire, a few bullet points. If you remember... The last programme, we were here on the 5th, I think. It was the 5th of May we were here. So at that time, the weather was awful. No question about that. It was pretty awful. And we'd seen already some pretty cold weather temperatures. I think in the first, I made a note here, the temperatures in the first 8 to 10 days of the month were running 4 degrees cold. Quite incredibly, in the first 8 to 10 days, and that included the bank holiday Monday, of course, the May Day bank holiday Monday, which was pretty awful, wet and windy, stormy, really quite lousy. And then eventually we did get onto some better weather later on, but it was fleeting, to say the very least. It was fleeting, and it was quite remarkable, I suppose, really, that we did actually get this warm spell right at the very end of the month. Which coincided with a bank holiday on the 31st. So we've done reasonably well for bank holiday late bank holiday Monday in spring in recent years. It did have a reputation at one time, but I think since the turn of this century, of the past 21 years or so now, things have got a little bit better. It was terrible at one time. We used to have really miserable bank holidays, almost matching those of the early spring bank holiday, the May Day, which started in 1978. That always had a terrible reputation, and this late spring also had a pretty bad reputation. But I would say in the last 22 years or so, we've done much, much better with that. And long may that continue, I've got to say. A mixed bag, to say the very least. I want to look at spring now, because taking the spring, we've just given it a bit of a glancing blow already. But spring itself, March, April, May, it'll always be remembered as a real mix of weather. How much detail we'll remember in years to come, I don't know. But taking those 3 months, it was a real mix of weather. March was, it was suggested that overall it was slightly milder than you'd normally expect in the long-term average. But if we just cast our mind back to March, it was pretty chilly for 3 weeks, and it was only in the last week where things improved a bit, and that skewed the temperatures. So March, I think, was a pretty disappointing month overall. April and May, obviously below temperatures, below normal temperatures. And then just this last few days, we just began to get the temperature up that little bit more, which was helpful in the statistics. But, April was dominated by the high pressure. It was dominated by lots and lots of frost. We've never seen frost like it, but sunshine was extremely high. It even beat the sunshine of last year in April, and that was cracking. So the average was 225 hours of sunshine during April, just beating the 224.5 hours 12 months ago. And the rainfall was well down as well, just an average of 20 millimetres of rain. It's the character of spring. Well, people will say it's changing, and they'll say that about any period, I think, these days, whether it's climate change, global warming or whatever it is. People are always beginning to suggest now that the seasons are beginning to twist around. But obviously there's no consistency with it. That's the thing, because, if you listen to the nature watchers, they will always say, oh, well, spring starts earlier now by 10 days than it did when I was a lad. And, that's the easy thing to call. But you wouldn't say that this year, would you? I mean, everybody's reflections looking back over the past 3 months was that it was a completely different spring. And where do you get that from? That wouldn't fit in with the climate change experts and where we're going. So these things are always going to come on, and we're always going to get these variations. And who's to say now, and this isn't a forecast, but it's something we can look at in detail afterwards, especially in September, looking back. But, you know, who's to say now that we aren't going to see record high temperatures this summer, which we have seen in years gone by. Over the last 2 or 3 years, we've seen those record high temperatures beating the ones that we had going back to 76 and 1990 and 83 also. July 83 was very hot. So who's to say, despite the fact that spring has been weird, and I think that is the easiest way of describing it, it's been weird because each month has had its own characteristics, which have sometimes been completely at odds with what the climate experts would expect to expect to happen. So, you know, my feeling at the moment is that we probably will get some really hot weather, and it may not be all that far away.
Excellent. I think probably reflecting on what you just said is we were so aware of last year's spring because, of course, that was the first lockdown and we spent a huge amount of time only being able to go out into our gardens and on one walk a day. And, of course, this year has been very similar. So we have been very much aware of just how dire or dreary or bizarre the weather patterns have been. But, of course, I keep remembering, and we quite often mention Bruce and the fact that they tend to get static weather in the United States. So they always know that the West Coast is going to be considerably warmer than anywhere else. They love coming to the United Kingdom because we get such a diversity of weather. And, you know, Edinburgh, Billy Connolly's one line about Edinburgh is it doesn't matter what you wear first thing in the morning. It'll be right for some time during the day because they can get four seasons in one day.
Yes, Edinburgh, that's right. It always seems to rain for the fringe, doesn't it? They always seem to get some very, very wet. But that, I don't know when that is. Is it second half of July into August or something
like that? It's the back half, mostly into August, which has never, ever, in my estimation, really been a particularly good month in the UK. But then that's probably me just remembering bad summers on the North Norfolk coast when if it gets cold and grey, it gets cold and grey.
That's right. That was very cruel to be sent there every year.
I know. I blame my father.
When I was growing up, we used to alternate between getting on platform one in West Yorkshire and going to Scarborough or platform two and going to Blackpool and Southport. So that was our plan. Year on, and it was always rubbish weather. But, you know, this was the 50s and the 60s, which was pretty dire weather at the best of times. So I think we had a bit of a windfall. I think my dad must have had a 50p increase in his wage and 10 shillings increase in his wage. Yeah. And in 63, for the first time ever, we headed south and we went down to Devon. And I couldn't believe how hot it felt. And it's still doing the same thing. Well, my dad took his string vest off. I'll tell you, it was quite something. But I'm just going to diversify slightly, if I may, before we have a track. We're going to have a track shortly, which I do like. I do like the track.
I brought you a very special version of this track as well. I hope you can set it loud and clear.
I'm going to talk it up. Don't worry.
Okay,
I'm going to come back to North America for Bruce's behalf later in the program. But just to begin with just a few bullet points around different parts of Europe and the world in May. Spain and Portugal had a fantastic month. I mean, you'd expect things to be settling down in the southern part of Europe by this time. But they do often get these unsettled spells. And sometimes you get this Genoa low forming in the central Mediterranean, which brings some pretty bad weather at times into Corsica and northern Italy and such like areas as that, the Balearic Islands. But they actually had a very good month in May, and only once did I notice it really turn pear-shaped, and that was about the 23rd of May, when all of a sudden, from nowhere seemingly, all these heavy bouts of rain and thunderstorms developed just around eastern Spain and into the Balearic Islands. So just for 24, 30 hours, they suddenly finished up with something like 40 to 60 millimetres of rain. And that was around about the 23rd of May. So that was unusual. That was all of a sudden it came from nowhere and it disappeared just as quickly. That was quite unusual, quite remarkable. Otherwise, not much happening in Europe, really. We had some hotter days and we had some wetter days, some storms, nasty storms around Slovakia around about the middle of the month. So you've had to go further afield to look where things were really beginning to change. I mean, obviously, this is the advancing monsoon season now once you get into India and such like places as that. And there was also some very stormy weather, an Arabian storm, Arabian Sea storm, which brought some bad weather to Oman around about the 4th and 5th of the month. So that's not what they want. They don't want these storms off the Arabian Sea. It can get very nasty indeed. Over in China, Wuhan, we don't want to just talk about Wuhan for the obvious bad reasons, but They've had a couple of bouts of storms as well, which were very nasty in Wuhan a couple of occasions in the early part of the month. Destructive tornadoes ripped through the city on the 14th and killed at least 8 people, and 280 people were injured as well in a very nasty tornado there. But severe flooding, of course, in other parts of the world as well, because of the increasing heat and increasing activity over in India. West Bengal on the 11th, severe thunderstorms there. Also 8 fatalities. But, you know, this is what they do get. It's this thing about the storms again, isn't it? You can't have a thunderstorm and think that it's just going to blow around you and nothing's going to happen. They are extremely dangerous affairs. And you cannot take them lightly. On the 17th, there was a very severe cyclone developed. It made a landfall in Gujarat. Yeah, that's the fella. Gujarat. And it brought wind speeds of 110 miles an hour, and 200,000 people were evacuated as that cyclone started to rampage. It was said to be the strongest to strike the coast of Gujarat since 1998. And I pause there because 1998, to my way of thinking, is the year that, 1998 was the year when everybody suddenly became aware of global warming. This time around, of course, it warmed up in different parts of different centuries in the past, not least after the mini ice age. But in this current bout of global warming, 1998 seemed to be a benchmark for the period when things started to change. I always remember 1998 in February when it was a very, very hot half term for the children. Yep. I think temperatures got to about 21 degrees and we went on a boat ride on the Thames in February 1998. You just couldn't believe that it was so warm. I mean, you think, oh, well, it's probably because we're in London, but it wasn't just that. It was 21 degrees in different areas as well. So down in Somerset, I think. So 1998, quite a pivotal year, actually, for the start of these different climates that we like to talk about willy-nilly. And, you know, it's interesting, but we've had some very hot weather in America as well, and I'm going to talk about that shortly. In the meantime, we're going to lead into a nice track, which Ultravox, back in 1982, Ultravox are well known, famous for that great track called Vienna.
Vienna, absolutely.
Vienna. But they also, they reaped the wild wind in 1982, and here we are.
I'll take
So Ultravox in 1982 produced that track, which was then remade, as Andrew said before we played it there, in 2017, an extended version. And what do you think? Pretty good, isn't it?
You've got another minute and a half of that track, having waited.
Value for money, or what?
49p well spent of the Siren budget. You're listening to John Ketley, The Weather Show, with Andrew David, interrupting badly. It's the 2nd of June. I have to remind you, if you're listening to this on any sort of delay, we're recording this on Wednesday at around about 11:30 in the morning, and the sun is still shining through the window, so it's not been too bad, but it's been blistering elsewhere, and I think that's where you're going in the States, isn't it?
Well, it's a very appropriate time to talk about the weather in the States, because the 1st of June is actually the official start of the hurricane season. No hurricanes in the Atlantic developing at the moment, but there has been one reported just recently. In the last 24 hours, there's been one reported in the eastern Pacific, just the other side of Baja California. Mm-hmm. So things are starting to brew up there. There hasn't been a hurricane made landfall in the States for the past 30 years, which I think is quite interesting in June. So that hasn't happened. But I think most of the heat, and it's been the heat that most people have been worried about across in North America, has been over California, and Bruce would confirm that. I mean, he's never happy. He just jumps into his pond and away he goes. But there's a bit of a change on the way, because the heat, the record heat of California, and it's not the first time, of course. I mean, there was a huge drought and record heat just 3 or 4 years ago. That subsided, but it's come back again with a vengeance recently. So that heat, that plume of heat, just because of the position of the jet stream, which we talk about, it's the same jet stream that we have. It is the polar front jet, which comes across the Atlantic and affects us from time to, well, it affects us all the time, but we don't often get the heat. That's just a thing which arrives now and again. So the heat is now buckling across into the Midwest. So it's parts of Central America now which are going to get the big plume of heat, whereas the jet stream cools down across the Northwest, down through Oregon and into parts of California. So there is a drop in temperature there, likely in the next few days, which should be some relief, I'm sure, to people who live around that part of the world. It's interesting. I mean, you look at the figures. So if you look at the temperatures, I know these are in Fahrenheit, and, you know, woe behold that we ever go this way again. but you look at Las Vegas, where temperatures are often hugely higher than we ever see. Thursday and Friday's temperatures are expected to be 107 degrees Fahrenheit again. Yeah. And then you're dropping right down by next Monday. You're dropping right down to 98. I mean, how disappointing is that? That's just 37 degrees C. Good grief.
I know.
They'll be turning the heating on. I mean, that's Las Vegas. Sacramento going down from 95 to 84. And Portland in Oregon, much, much more reduced, obviously, up there. But 79 degrees this Thursday, down to 66 degrees by next Monday. So you can see the drop in temperature. That's the position of the jet stream changing altogether.
Portland, very much, very British. We have some very good friends in Portland, Oregon, Michael Hunsberger. And he does say, and of course, that part of the world is renowned for being quite damp as well.
Yes.
Very much more English, British style. But I mean, the Las Vegas temperatures, it's quite interesting, because from a geographical point of view, it is the high desert. So it's actually quite a long way above sea level, but still gets these absolutely stunning temperatures. And sometimes it can be very uncomfortable and quite humid. With the way all the traffic holds the dust and the gloom and the doom and the smog in, it can be very unpleasant until the wind blows through and blows it out. But then with the wind, you get sandstorms.
Yes, you can't win, can you?
Well, go figure. You build it in the middle of a desert. What's going to happen? Meanwhile,
yes, I know.
End of me.
It's the same sort of effect with Mexico City, which is very high, isn't it? Mexico City, is that 6,000 feet above sea level, or 2,000 metres? So they get very, very high temperatures, very unpleasant weather, I would suggest. And also nearer to home in Madrid, where you're certainly 2,000 feet above sea level in Madrid. And they get some of the higher temperatures, like they do in Cordoba and Seville further south as well, Cadiz. But, the very high temperatures could still be well inland, will be well inland, away from any cooling influences of the sea and sea breezes. So there you are. So America, just terminating our chat about the Midwest. I mean, it's going to heat up in the Midwest, and then it's going to move across to the northeastern part. So, you know, you expect New York and places like that, Washington, are going to get much higher temperatures in a week or so's time. But it's all to do with the same jet stream. It's all to do with how it flexes its muscles, it dips, it troughs, it ridges in different parts of North America at the best of times. And just for a change now, instead of it being static, which it has been, as you mentioned at the beginning, you said the jet stream becomes static. We get blocking. We call it blocking over here. And so what's happening now is we're in for a spell of warmer weather. But at the same time, eventually the trough will come back and then everything will go belly up, as I would say, and things won't be very pleasant at all. But that's looking further ahead.
Before you move on, hurricanes, you were talking about that. I got a little ping on my screen, literally as we started today's programme, that the storm chasers are about to start their season. There are quite a few programmes on these satellite channels of people who actually deliberately go and try and drive straight into the face of hurricanes in the name of science to try and discover how they work. It makes great telly. But it one does. Of the things that really is quite extraordinary is the size of the hail smashes windscreens and dense cars. They are really unbelievably destructive. You're talking about thunderstorms, hurricanes equally so. So, yes, we are well into it, and the TV guys are getting all gung-ho about it. They will do.
But as I say, the last June U.S. hurricane that made landfall was 30 years ago, I should say.
That's very interesting.
I don't know why that would be, and I'm sure some expert will know the reason for that. But I think the season's extended. You know, there's been talk about extending the season from the beginning of May rather than the beginning of June and right the way through to almost Christmas, which seems ridiculous. But it just shows you that little tropical storms, they don't have to be hurricanes, but you can have a tropical storm developing in its embryo stage now, you know, right at the beginning of the year, January, February time. I think it's all part and parcel of how the sea temperatures are gradually increasing and very likely will continue to do so in years to come, decades to come. I've got a list of the new names, by the way.
You know,
they retire the bad ones. The ones that cause absolute destruction, they get retired until people have forgotten about them. Then they'll probably come back in 60 years' time. You know, we've had those very, very serious storms in the past, like Ike and the one that hit New Orleans, which I always forget the name of, but 2005. But the new names are, and the first one is Anna, and the next one is Bill.
Turnbull.
As in Turnbull or Giles, I was thinking of.
Yeah, of course you would, yes. I think of the anchor, and you think of the venerable weatherman.
Well, that's right, yes. So we've got Anna to start things off. We've got Bill. We've got Claudette. We've got Danny and Elsa and Fred. And of course, every time one of these comes along and Fred. Yes, that's right. So every time one of these comes along, you always tie them into, oh, well, I never did like him anyway. I didn't like her. I thought she was always a nasty piece of work. So you tend to tie these things in. I'll go through the whole list if you want. We've got Fred. We've got Grace, Henri, Ida, Julian, Kate, Larry, Mindy, Nicholas, Odette, Peter, Rose, Sam, Teresa, Victor, and Wanda, if we get to the end. Of course, last year we did get to the end. We had to start again.
Start going round again, didn't they?
Yeah. Alpha, beta, all that stuff. Yeah.
Alpha, beta, Charlie, Foxtrot. No, I can't remember. No, I'm not going to
Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, Golf, and all that, Which we had to learn the alphabet for at the airport.
Meanwhile, back on track, where are we going now?
Well, I think we should talk about the weather that we've got in this country just at the moment, because obviously we've talked about how things did warm up at the end of May, and now this warmer weather is in for some substantial time, I think. You know, today is the hottest day of the year. The hottest day of the year became the 31st of May, then became the 1st of June. It's now the 2nd of June, so it's hotter today than it has been at any time in the past few months, obviously. The higher temperatures today are probably going to be up around 28 degrees somewhere in the home counties. As far as Lincolnshire is concerned, well, I'm hopeful of a 24 or maybe a 25 degrees in the afternoon. Yes, it is the hottest day of the year. Hardly surprising. We're already talking about thunderstorms. We've started to generate some thunderstorms first thing this morning down in the southwest across Cornwall, running across into Ireland. And other thunderstorms are going to be triggered, I think, this afternoon and just for a time tonight as well. It's quite likely that you could hear rumbles of thunder in the distance later on today, even in Lincolnshire to the south. I think most of the activity today has been across the southwest of England, but onto the south coast later on, and also through Wales and up into Ireland. So Ireland's got some stormy weather for the rest of Wednesday. Now, things subside during Thursday and Friday before the threat of big storms then develops again in the near continent. So it could well be that for the weekend, late Friday into Saturday in particular, there is certainly a big threat of nasty thunderstorms around northeast France, Belgium. And the French Open Tennis Championships are going on at the moment. They've got some bad weather to come even today. And that will be repeated Friday into Saturday. So the bad weather is going to be influencing the sport. It's Derby Day on Saturday, the Oaks on Friday, the Derby on Saturday, which does remind me that back in 1911, and sadly we've got nobody, no, there's nobody in this house who remembers 1911 too well, but Derby Day thunderstorms became really a big talking point in 1911. It got to 28 degrees all round Epsom. By lunchtime, and then big storms developed. The first storm developed up in Thurfield in Hertfordshire, but then started rumbling around the whole of the London area in 1911. It was the 31st of May, but it was Derby Day. And eventually storms struck after the race had finished, and four people died in the Epsom area because of these storms. And there were other deaths, sadly, around London as well from, the thunderstorms self-perpetuating really in different areas. Each cell wouldn't last necessarily more than half an hour, three quarters of an hour in itself, but they self-perpetuate. So different cumulonimbus cells develop out of the previous one. So that was what was happening in 1911. And although I don't think we're going to get a storm at the Derby this weekend, there is a threat of it, and there's certainly a threat of it for the Oaks on Friday. But I think the biggest storms are probably going to be affecting France, the Roland Garros tennis championships, and running across into Belgium and Holland at the end of this week into the first part of the weekend. Things then calm down again. So quite frankly, looking at the weather pattern for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm going to throw in something here, because if you remember, Andrew, the only date, which I talk about frequently in June, the only summer date, the 3 months, which has never seen temperatures of 30 degrees, is the 13th of June. Now, it could well be, it all depends on the orientation of the high pressure and the position of the jet stream. But I would think that this year, the 13th of June, is highly at risk of getting this 30 degrees that it's not had before since 1860. On these figures. I'm looking at some much hotter weather, much warmer weather, probably developing in the first 2.5 weeks of June. And although there'll be a slight cooling briefly, I think the hot weather is going to be dominant in this month. And it could be a very unusual June, because you don't look at June these days and say, well, it's flaming because of the heat. It's just flaming because it's horrible.
It was this time last year. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. I've got figures of June in decades gone past, and we've seen some rubbish weather. I've talked about, generally speaking, our summers in the 50s and 60s were rubbish. But June actually came out best in the 60s, remarkably. June 1960 was better than any other time as a decade. Then it cooled off again afterwards and didn't warm up again. And 2000 to 2006, we had some much, much warmer Junes, much hotter. And 2000 to 2009 overall was 15 degrees as an average mean temperature for England and Wales, whereas it was 14.1 back in 1970s. So a big change in temperature there as temperatures started to recover again. I think we are going to see some high temperatures in June. We're going to see some hotter weather than we'd normally get. It just makes you fear for what's going to happen in July and August, which...
Let's not go there. Let's just enjoy what we've got at the moment. And, of course, the 13th of June is a Sunday, so if anybody wants to hear how ecstatic you are on the radio, they could listen to Boom Radio on Monday the 14th at around about 8:15 or something like that, and they could hear you either going, yippee, I got it right, or just ignoring it completely.
Or I could be on LBC News that day, because LBC News
always call you
every time when we've got a weather story breaking. But I'm on every morning anyway, weekday. Interesting times ahead, Andrew, I think. And it's all this jet stream thing again. So perhaps we have to thank Bruce over in California for sending that hotter weather further east in the next fortnight.
Excellent. I shall make sure that he is really grateful and sends us something spectacular. Well, no, he's sending us the weather, which is brilliant. And now we have to say that we are doing a July program, but we're recording it slightly early. We're recording it on Friday, the 2nd of July. So it will go out then as well as the following Wednesday. So the next time John and I will be together, no doubt rejoicing in the fact that we're both wearing shorts and T-shirts, and it will be, as we say, drippio, because we've hit 30 and not retreated from it on the 13th of June. Just remember that, 30 degrees Celsius on the 13th of June, the prognostication of Nostradamus weatherman, John Kettley. John, thank you so much indeed for being
pleasure,
with us
Andrew.
On Siren Radio.